of this weekend, Friday night at 6, we will begin a marriage conference. That's the guy that's going to be teaching it. It's going to be on the video screen, but it's going to be really worth your time to go. If you want lunch on Saturday, I need to know. There is a online form. If you text the word WED to, do we have that slide with the phone number? 214-6192, W-E-D. Text W-E-D, make sure your autocorrect doesn't go to weed, because that wouldn't work. And then 214-6192, you will be able to sign up. You can get lunch there as well. That'll happen on Saturday. Put it like this, and you heard what the man said. If you want to deal with sin in your life, I don't care whether you're married or not, it'd be a good conference for you. If you don't, well, quite honestly, I don't even know why you're here. So we should all come to the conference on Saturday. There we go. Okay. All right. Because we all got it, right? Oh, good. Now, today, we are finishing up Philippians. We're going to be in chapter 4, verses 14 through 23. Now, I got to tell you something. Before we look at this, I've got to tell you. I pray, probably one of my more frequent prayers is, God, you lead the church by your Spirit, not me, please, because that's a struggle. Some of you might realize that it can be a real struggle to just say, God, I got this. But that's one of the things I frequently kind of come back to. Lord, you lead us. Don't let me lead us. And so I started this series in Philippians kind of knowing I was going to work my way through ahead of us, you know, and, you know, as we go. And I wanted it to end about the time summer started, yes. And a couple of weeks ago, I'm working my way through thinking, okay, should I wrap up Philippians last week? Like, go ahead and finish it up in two services and start something new now, or finish it today? And as I read it, I'm like, yeah, God clearly, by his Spirit, put this text before us today. This was not me from the beginning, all planning. We had a budget meeting scheduled today for, I don't know, a year. It's kind of the way it works. It just always goes up on the calendar. I did not plan this. Some of you are going to think, sure. Those of you that know me know that I can't plan that far in advance. This was the Spirit of God putting this text in front of us today, I'm convinced. Now, before we read it, I want to make sure we all realize this reality, and we got kids in the room, right? And I know you kids have heard your parents say to you, do you want it or do you need it? Right? Kids, you've heard that. You heard that some? Yeah. Well, let me tell you a secret about your parents. Sometimes they get those things mixed up too. We all get our wants and our needs confused. And what that means, I think, when the rubber hits the road, as they say, is that we are not good sharers. We hoard because we think we need what we want. Looked up some statistics. Americans give away about 2.1% of their income to charity. North Dakotans give away 1.8. Now, you know, that's close and all that, but I do think, I know, really, I feel very confident, I should say, that as a church, we do better than that. I think here in the room, we do a little bit better. I think, you know, I got to be honest, I've looked at some numbers, right? I don't know if we're median. I don't know if we represent Bismarck well. I think we probably do. The median income in the city of Bismarck is 65, median family income is $65,000 a year. And if we're median, right? And I don't know if we're average people. Look around the room. You can decide if we're average. Sometimes I go back and forth on that question. But if we are, then our budget should be about $600,000 a year. As it is, it's about $400,000. That means we do better than 1.8%. It's probably more in the range of 6.7. That's okay, but I think we could do a whole lot more with a budget of $600,000 if it's there. I don't know. You know. I don't want to know. But here's the thing. As we talk about this, I want to be real, real clear. Because I know this. I know this much. Some of us, probably me included, sitting here thinking, I'm not sure I give away 10% of my income, right? And I don't want to shame anybody. I would rather you never, ever, ever give a penny away than give because you feel guilty or shamed into it. So let's just get that out of the way. I need to say that. See, God is after our hearts, not our wallets. And I think we're going to see that come out in the text that we read. God wants our hearts, not our wallets. See, if you struggle, right, as I would imagine most of us do, if you struggle to give Jesus some of your wallet, believe me, it's going to be a lot harder to give him your heart. So the whole point of what we're going to see is that we might use our wallets to sort of aim our hearts. So I'm going to read it. Now, before I do, I want you to remember, Paul has been talking here about contentment. He said, look, he's already begun to thank them for their gift. Thank you, verses 10 through 13, where he's like, hey, thanks. I've learned to be content, though, in all things. He's kind of saying, I didn't really need it that much, but thank you. And then he picks up verse 14, yet, even though I'm content, even though I can handle all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Even though, yet, it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership, it's going to be an important word with me, in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And to close out the letter, to God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Let me pray. God, would your grace be with our spirit and in our hearts, and open your word to us, heart, mind, and soul today. Amen. All right, so as we look at that, what do we notice about giving? That's the question that I wanted to ask as we see a lot in here. First of all, it's the sharing of a burden. There's a sharing in it. When we, we're going to have a meeting again. After we worship today, we'll have a meeting right here where we're going to talk about the budget. When you look ahead at a budget, do you see yourself as giving to it, maybe even sacrificing for it, or participating in it? I want you to notice these words, share in my trouble. Partnership, verse 15, he says, partnership with me. Both of these words come from our favorite little K Greek word, koinonia, sharing, fellowship, partnership, that we are together in this thing. This is a way of thinking that I think we need to get better at. Because here in America, right, we're all about me. Like that, we've talked about this until I'm blue in the face. We're all about, this is what I'm going to do, so I'm going to do it. And maybe, I'll write you a check. There you go. Have fun doing your thing. I'm doing my thing. This becomes sort of the way we think. But Paul calls it sharing and participation, the fact that we're in something together. Sharing. I'm thinking about sharing, right? I'm like, huh, what's a good way to talk about the good of sharing? Now, some of you, not all of you, but some of you will remember a little thing called Betamax. Some of you. You can always tell the millennials. They're like, what? Betamax. It was made by Sony. It was the precursor, really, to the VHS, which is also gone. Some of you don't know what a VHS is, I'd imagine. Kids, you guys know what VHS is? Awesome. All right. Sony came out with the Betamax, and it was a different format. JVC came out with the VHS. And JVC gave the product, the specifications or how to make this tape away to the industry. Sony said, no, that's ours. We're going to be the only ones making the Betamax machine. That didn't work out too well for them because nobody wanted to buy the Betamax machine. Pretty soon Betamax became a thing of past. Because sharing does good for everybody, not just the person getting it. It actually increased JVC's profit share by giving it away because more people were buying theirs. Now, I put on Facebook, some of you probably seen it the other day, what does it mean to belong to a church? Because as I thought about sharing together, participating in, I was thinking of this. We use this phrase, right? Often we'll say it about so-and-so, you know, so-and-so belongs to that church, or I belong to BCC, or, you know, what does that even mean? Belong is ownership, right? I mean, really, we belong to Jesus. He owns us. But what are we talking about? What are we trying to describe when we say, I belong to a church? I think fundamentally what we're saying is we're together. Somebody commented on that we are, as the body of Christ, right? I might be the hand and you might be the eyes or the nose or the ears. We all have a different role to play as being the body. And when we walk out that door, right, on Sunday afternoon and we go into the world and into our workplaces and the things that we might have to do, or when all of these areas, what we are doing is we are being Christ. That is Christ entering into the world when we're all playing our part. But when we're like, you know what, I'll write a check, I got things to do, you see the difference. Are we participating together or are we sacrificing? So ask that question. Am I giving? This is a mental thing. This is not have to do with amount at all. This has to do with heart attitude. Am I giving? Am I sacrificing? Or am I sharing? Because if you're giving, you're missing out on some of what you could have. If you're participating, then you're beginning to taste of something that is larger than you, the body of Christ, the mission of Christ in the world. By sharing in it, we actually get more, just like JVC did. Now also, we notice that giving helps the giver. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift. Remember, Paul's telling him, he's already told him, I'm good, I'm fine. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I'm looking, what I like about your gift, Paul says, is what it does for you. Yeah, think about that. Why on earth would giving stuff away be good for me? Let's set aside for just a second where you give to. Just for a minute. Pretend you're an atheist and you give your money away to nonprofits that seek to battle Christian teaching, right? I would argue that on some level, ultimately it's not, but on some level that is still good for you. Because you are at least putting something before yourself. Even though that may not be the best choice. We can debate that later. But you are reminding yourself when you write the check, or, well, let's be honest, who does that anymore? Swipe the card or enter the numbers, right? When you do that, you're reminding yourself that you're not all that special. You're not all that important. Sharing what is ours reminds us that it's not all about us. Now, I don't care if your form of letting go of things is giving money away, hauling a truckload to the welcome house, or burning it all in your backyard. We need to be reminded that we're just not as special as we think we are, that our wants and desires are not as important as we initially think. I think this is the reason that we kind of have that 10% rule in the Bible. Because the truth is, for most of us, not necessarily all, for most of us, say 3% is like, we don't really feel that. 10% is where you really kind of begin to feel like letting go of stuff. For most of us. I know it varies, lifestyles, incomes, there's a number of factors. But that, I think, is a good measuring point. Do I feel like it's hurting just a little bit? Because that's the place at which we begin to go, oh, yeah, it's not about me. That's the place where we begin to go, I'm second, or third, or fourth. Selfishness. He said on the video, selfishness is the single greatest detriment to humanity. It's what affects all of our relationships. I wish I had a nickel. Actually, I don't. Just be sad. For every relationship, marriage, family, parents, kids, church, where one or both people in that relationship were looking out for themselves first and ended up destroying it. But giving just until we start to feel it a little bit, giving at that level reminds us on a regular basis that we are not that special. And our hearts may begin to follow that. And that will reflect across our lives. But ultimately, participating in the work of God, the mission of the church, right? Giving money to his mission, ultimately, that's providing what we need more than anything else. Verse 19, he says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Now, you've had people ask me that we're talking about really hungry people. Like, you know, you look around the world, right? Some of us have been to Ethiopia, and we look and we go, I'm not so sure. Right? What is it? What's Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. What we need, more than food, more than shelter, like the bottom rung in Maslow's hierarchy, is love Jesus. That's what we really need. Augustine, one of my favorite sentiments, is expressed by the ancient pastor, philosopher, and theologian, Augustine, who said, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." We are so achingly desperate for something to fill up that restlessness, and we run around from this place to that looking for everything. Our hearts are like doors to our soul. And the door, the lock on that knob is love for Christ. You ever had those times where you stand there and you got somebody else's keys and you're trying to get in the door, right? And you're shoving every, dang it. You know, and you keep on going through that trying to find the key that'll fit. That's the way most of us live. It's called idolatry. Trying to shove keys in that hole that just won't unlock the door. The only one that will is called love for Christ. So how does this relate to money? Well, think about this. If you were to take everything you got in savings and put it all in Microsoft stock, which is not investment advice. Please don't take it as such. But let's say you take everything you own and you put it in Microsoft. I know what you're going to do tomorrow. You're going to Google MSFT. That's the stock number letter. You want to know, you want to watch the chart, you want to read all the news. If there's any kind of board meeting coming up, you're on top of that. You need to know everything Microsoft is doing because that's where your money is. Jesus knew this before the New York Stock Exchange existed. Or I guess Microsoft's on NASDAQ. Doesn't matter. Jesus knew this. He said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be." Many of us know we absolutely believe in our heads that Jesus is the key to that lock. We know we want our souls to be free. We know that's the answer, right? But we struggle. I get it. Me too. But if we put our treasure where we want our hearts to be, our hearts will follow. Because if you wanted your heart to be in Microsoft, the answer would be to give your money to Microsoft. If you want your heart, I know, we're not all there. Our hearts are not fully Jesus's, but on some level I think we think that might be good. Well, run a test. Give a little bit more, a little extra to the kingdom, to the mission, and see if your heart doesn't follow. Put your money back into expanding God's mission, his glory, his power, and his kingdom forever. And I'm betting you'll begin to see that you love him a little more. Now, I need to say this. Most preachers hate talking about money. I get it. I don't mind as much. Here's what I mind. Anybody believe, and I know we all struggle with this. This is a hard area, right? Given 10%. It's hard. It's hard to talk about. It's hard to, we struggle with it. I don't want anybody feeling guilty. You cannot possibly give so little money that God is even a tiny bit unhappy with you. If you've never, ever given a penny away to anyone, it makes zero difference to the gospel and to the love of Jesus for you. But this is what I think we need to reclaim a little bit in the church. See, yeah, you can't do a single thing that will make God love you more. You never could. You never will be able to. You can't. Look, our hearts are stubborn. We don't need God to love us more. We need to love God more. And we can do things that will begin to shape our own hearts in the direction that we want them to go. And one of those things is giving. So don't leave thinking God doesn't love me as much as the guy down there. No. No. And that guy's result, right? He's not giving because he loves God more either. If he's giving more, maybe it's simply because he doesn't love God as much as you do and is dying to love Jesus just a little bit more than he does. It is our wallets that aim our hearts, not the other way around. I can promise you this, what we really need, what our hearts ache for, what our souls yearn for, isn't food and shelter, and it's not the new car or any of those things. What we need more than anything else is to love Jesus. And I know that if we give a little more to him, then what we need, the love of Christ, will be supplied to us according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. More than we can even begin to imagine. Let me pray for us. Lord, would you remind our hearts that we are all limping toward glory? And would you grab us and throw us over your shoulder once in a while on the way there? And help us as we struggle to learn what it means to walk faithfully with you. Would you help our selfish sometimes hearts to let go of the things, the keys that we think will fit the lock to our heart. Just help us to let go of those. So the only key that we're tempted to fit is you, Lord Jesus. Meet us as we worship. It's in your name. Amen.
Let's stand, please.